This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports. The Final Frontier. These are the voices of the sinner and the saint.
I kick you, and then if you feel well enough, you can kick me in the groin. So if you throw up...
yeah, you're done.
Their weekly mission, to provide hot takes, medium takes, sometimes annoying takes, mild takes, to boldly go where no show has gone before. Luke Anderson.
Oh, Heater Locklear, though. Have you seen her? That's Heather Locklear that smokes. Super. She's a little trashier, so she's, like, more gettable.
Will Darkins.
I started to get that feeling again, the college football feeling. It's that time where you realize that on Saturdays and Sundays you can ignore your family.
This is the Sinner and the Saint Tailgate Show, presented by Frost Brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer on 1080 The Fan.
Space! Ooh. That's what I'm talking about. All right, it's hour two of this fine radio program. Call it the Sinner and the Saint. I'm not sure where that name came from, but let's go with it. If you missed anything from hour one, you can go to 1080thefan.com and you can download the podcast. Do it after the show because we've got a whole nother hour. But you do want to check that out. Also worth mentioning, September, Bourbon Heritage Month. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, Bourbon Heritage Month, special $8 cocktails all around town. A lot of places you can go and check those out. Bunk Bar on Water Avenue, Chapel Hill Church, Laurelhurst Market, the Pope House Bourbon Lounge, Reverend's Barbecue, or Southland Whiskey Kitchen. If you go to 1080thefan.com while you're downloading our podcast, just jump over to the events page. They've got a map, all the places you can get them. Celebrate America's native spirit with Bourbon Heritage Month.
Okay.
Brought to you by Jim Beam.
You got it.
Cool. We'll jump right on that. Hey, College Game Day was down in Eugene, Oregon. Did you see that?
They are in Eugene, Oregon.
Are they still there?
Yeah, they're still
there. No, don't they pack up and leave right when they're done with the show?
I don't think they're. They got to stay around for a little bit longer.
I think they hang on the bus, though, but I mean, they're not still going. I'll tell you what game day is there. Ducks Game Day.
Yeah.
Dirk Johnson, Dusty Hara.
Anthony Newman.
It's going to be quite the show. We got a whole day full of Ducks. If you're hooked on Ducks football... If that's what your passion is, all day, just stay on the fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Don't turn the dial.
Well, why would you? I mean, listen, if you're listening right now, just text us 55305. You've set it to this station, torn the knob off your radio and thrown it out your window. Have
sure.
you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing the right thing. Huh. You're doing the right thing. What did you think of the showing at game day for Eugene? I mean, one of the things that's great about game day is that it's not just, you know, a very old Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit and Reese Davis. It's also the crowd, right? I mean, they're as much a part of the show, and signs have become a good thing. How do you think Eugene did showing up for game day?
Did a great job. They had a really good showing, and, you know, we've ran a lot of promos this past week on The Fan about Mario Cristobal, head coach Mario Cristobal, wanting fans to get out to Eugene and fill up Autzen and get really loud, because there has been that whole sentiment these past 3 weeks that, man, Eugene isn't, or I'm sorry, Autzen really isn't Autzen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that crowd at San Jose State looked pretty sparse, to say the least, and especially in the second half where the game actually became pretty close. So, you know, if game day is any indication, it's going to be really loud there tonight. Now, I did notice they were very, very insistent on letting you know that the movie Animal House was filmed on the University of Oregon campus.
Yes.
Like, every part of that show had Animal House infused into it.
And they did the thing where they were picking the pledges with the whole game day crew. Did you see that?
I did not watch it because I don't care.
So after that Gene Wojciechowski or whatever feature, they acted like they were, you know, the elder statesmen of the fraternity. The whole cast sat down on a couch and they were looking at potential pledges. They had like Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, like Chip Kelly.
And they all spanked each other.
If they would have put Willie Taggart up there, the crowd would have just lost their mind.
Well, they brought their hatred for Willie Taggart. Oh, so yeah. So I watch this is the way I watch game day. I half listen to it on the radio where it's not timed up with the television, and I watch the visuals of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting ready for the show. Because listen, what we want to do here on the Sinner Saint is deliver high quality programming. That means we need to be educated on what's going on. Mm-hmm. But here's what I saw when I was looking up. Is Lee Corso wearing the duck head, holding a real duck that is being wrangled by a wolverine? Half man, half wolverine. Did you see the face on that dude?
The beard was up to his eyes.
Well, and he's clearly trying to stay off camera, but they don't want the duck to bite Lee Corso because he's so old. His skin is just paper thin, and a duck bite will kill him.
Yes. Yeah.
So the wolverine man is kind of ducking up
and
back
he's, like,
and forth.
Smiling beyond. At the same time, which makes it a little creepy. It was
extremely awkward.
He is a hill person. I'm quite sure.
I don't know where they found him off in the Coburg Hills somewhere.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
In the hills. They tranked him, brought him in through a cage, and then Corso got to kind of give his approval before the show. He was rabid at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Grabbing onto the cage. Corso's like, get him out there.
Does it give you any...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. Well, here's the thing. So it's funny. You have to get up at 9 a.m. And well, earlier than that. I guess it starts at 7 a.m. So you're out there at 7 a.m. The game's not till 5 o'clock. Does it give you any worry about Autzen actually being at fever pitch tonight when everybody showed up for game day?
Yeah,
12 hours before the game.
I did that routine back in the day when I was a student. You sleep for a couple hours, then you make it back out there. I think people will be fine.
Yeah.
It's mostly students who are there, honestly. I mean, like I got up at 5:45 and I watched the thing, and they were the duck rode in on the Harley. They were all screaming, shout that song that they do between the third and fourth quarter. And it was mostly students with a bunch of Willie Taggart hatred and a bunch of Kevin Durant hatred. By the way, there was a sign that said, "KD, are you joining the Cleveland Browns now?"
The KD vitriol was surprising.
There was a lot.
I mean, where that came from.
Well, dude,
there's
a lot of Bay Area kids at U of O, and therefore a lot of the Oregon kids hate the Warriors gear that they see around campus all the time. That's a real thing.
That's interesting.
It's like when the Giants, when I was there in school, the San Francisco Giants were winning the World Series every other year, and you'd see San Francisco Giants gear everywhere. So we automatically hated the Giants that much more.
Well, Preston, we left you out of the first couple segments when we were talking ducks. Not intentionally.
Well, it's not my show. I'm just doing traffic.
No, you're fine. I want to get your thought on the game, though, because we do want to dive back into it. Stanford is the first real test for this Oregon Ducks team, and Justin Herbert has been good. I don't know that he's been necessarily great in the first few games, but that may be his wide receivers, you know, missing some balls that they should have caught. The run game's been a little inconsistent. What do you expect from the game?
Well, Stanford's defense is amazing. I think their defense is really good. They're giving up less than 8 points a game. And I know they haven't played very many great teams, but they held USC to like 6 rushing yards and 3 points. They lost Harrison Phillips from last year. Their D lineman, obviously they had Solomon Thomas a couple of years before that. So I don't know if they have one of those like top 5, top 10 draft picks at D line, but their linebackers, Alfieri, who went to Jesuit in Portland, and Tuhill, and those guys are still really, really good. So I think Oregon's going to have a really tough time running the ball. I really do. I think it's going to come down to Herbert and what he can do with the crop of receivers, because Stanford's defense is amazing. I'm still not completely sold on Costello, the quarterback. I don't know how you guys feel about him, but their passing game has been pretty inconsistent. You know, Oregon didn't look great against San Jose State. Stanford did not look good against UC Davis. I mean, they scored 30 points, and they had trouble moving the ball for a while.
But no Bryce Love in that game.
That's true. No Bryce Love, and he is supposed to be back.
Hey, he's a pretty good player, too, right?
I think he's all right.
He's decent?
He's all right. He did San Diego State did hold him to, like, 29 rushing yards. Not really his fault, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's an O-line thing. Suk asked Shaw on the conference call how he felt about the O-line for Stanford this year, and Shaw was actually, like, super honest with him, and he was like, I think they're playing at, like, a B-minus type level, which for Stanford, that's shocking. They're usually playing at an A or an A-plus type level, so... You know, Oregon's front seven looks like it's about as good as it's been in a long time.
Yeah,
so
but David Shaw also has a lot of comments where he's saying Justin Herbert's unstoppable, and he looks like a defensive end out there playing. There's no way we can bat down his passes. If he runs, we're not going to be able to catch him. He's underselling his team. He's overselling Oregon.
That's what all coaches do. Jonathan Smith was hyping up Khalil Tate, the passer, earlier this week. It's like, give me a break, dude.
What this really comes down to, and I think has been exhausted, is the whole, we're going to finally see the first Pac-12 test, right? I would have said last night was really your first Pac-12 showing of real talent.
Well,
right?
You had Utah and Washington play already.
Yeah, but that was pretty boring. I thought that game
was
boring.
Okay, but there's still talent out there.
It was a bit overmatched. I kind of think Utah, we might be over Utah Stees, to be quite honest.
Is that a...
Stees.
Stees? Skis. You mean skis.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. I mean, with all the snow they have in Utah.
I think this is all about Justin Herbert. I really do. I come back to Justin Herbert because so many people... There was even a feature on ESPN that had a whole... feature piece about don't know Justin Herbert. You should be watching him. This is his national spotlight moment. Mm-hmm. It's been the undercurrent, right, of sports media saying, hey, when we look ahead to next year for a first round draft pick, this is going to be the guy. He's got to prove it tonight.
See, my one of the things that I really like about this game and kind of the hype for, I think there's just so many unknowns.
For sure.
I mean, how fun is that you kind of have the known quantity in Justin Herbert, but you don't know how Bryce Love's going to perform because he hasn't performed that well to start out the season. I don't know a whole ton about, you know, the offense that you're going to see from the rest of the Stanford team, even though they've been a little bit more established. They threw the ball a lot last year against Oregon, but again, you're playing Braxton Burmeister and Willie Taggart. This is a very different team.
Braxton.
Yeah.
You did.
Well, no, it is. It is. Yeah, the game ended in like 2 seconds last year.
It was 49-7.
Bryce Love had like 280-yard rushing touchdowns and it was over.
You glean nothing from last year. You come in with a lot of question marks. Again, we talked about this earlier. Who's going to be the back for Oregon that's going to be the guy that can be a force running the ball, set up the play action pass, and who's going to be the go-to receiver for Justin Herbert?
Braxton Burmeister.
Oh, is that Braxton? He should have been better with that name.
Braxton definitely chews tobacco with that name.
Sure. He's got to dip in Braxton. Right now. I don't think there's any question about that. Hey, let's take a look around the rest of the Pac-12. Your Beavers taking on Arizona. Is that a likely win for Jonathan Smith? First time they can win in the Pac-12 in how long?
Hey, this is Braxton calling Pep Boys. My truck's broken.
All right, more Braxton Burmeister impressions next. Center and Saint, 1080 The Fan.
Quick update on Georgia's glasses kicker.
He Rodrigo Blankenship, right?
Yeah, glasses.
Just call him glasses.
Specs.
Specs.
I would nickname that guy Windows if I was on his team.
There you go. I like that.
Windows missed that kick. Jerk.
Did Windows miss one?
Yeah, he missed one.
Oh, jeez.
He's kind fired. Of a chip shot one, too.
He's never going to be the second overall pick like Roberto Aguayo, or second round pick like Roberto Aguayo and be out of the league in a year.
Dude, such a Bucks thing to pick a kicker in the second round.
You know what the funny thing is? We had to look it up to see if he was actually in the league because he got picked up by Chicago and then he tried out for San Diego this year. And so we had to pull it up. And it's like, is there anything more appropriate than seeing a guy that fails miserably and is out of the league like that and his Wikipedia photo is in a Bucks jersey?
Yeah.
You know, forever his NFL profile picture will be a Bucks jersey.
Dude, I wonder who kicked that guy's dog because he was really talented.
And he's still talented. He just doesn't have the head for it. Dude, kickers are insane.
Yeah, but I mean, where did it start? Like, I mean, you missed. At Florida State, didn't he only miss like once?
I don't know if he ever missed.
Some insane.
He was literally the most accurate kicker in NCAA history.
Yep. Yeah.
And he got a second round pick paycheck. And he's just sitting at home. Watching, he's sitting at home watching the Browns and the Vikings miss kick after kick after kick going, I could miss those.
You think he's calling his agent up being like, dude, get me on the Browns.
Yeah,
now.
But his agent's phone says do not pick up when he calls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save yourself the trouble.
Look, Roberto, I thought we talked about you taking that assistant manager job at Wendy's.
Yeah. So Preston, not only our traffic and weather guy, we gave him a new job. How'd you do?
Oh, well, I'm still thinking of the third.
Oh, jeez. We'll get back to you on it.
We have three options.
Well, no, don't give them. You create it, and then we present it. I'm so disappointed in you.
It's okay, Preston.
I don't know what to call the werewolf duck handler from game day.
He does this all the
time. Do I just call him werewolf duck handler?
Yes.
Okay.
He overpromises, Preston.
I do what now?
He puts responsibilities on people that you can't fulfill reasonably, and he overpromises.
I asked him to think of an animal. 55305. Text an animal. We'll do improv. 55305. It's a better you today text line. Text an animal.
See, he's doing it again.
55305.
Over promising.
To who?
You're assuming someone's gonna text in an animal.
Yes, I am. It's all I ask.
A lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure for somebody to text in an animal.
Feels like a cooker in here.
All right.
Pressure cooker.
Hey, let's take a look around the Pac-12. We've got four games. One already been played. USC won 39-36 over USC. Of course, we've got the huge game between the number 7 Stanford Cardinal in Autzen Stadium against the number 20 Oregon Ducks. But we've also got two other games. The late game tonight is going to be Arizona State and number 10 Washington. Arizona State had a little hype train going with Herm. Well, they ran into San Diego State last week. Do you expect that to be competitive?
Oh, yeah. Dude, Aztec is actually a quality team.
I think so, too. Yeah. I mean, it's funny how quickly they were written off for getting a non-conference loss.
Well, I think more than anything, this isn't a game about Arizona State, but more about Washington. Because, you know, really the only barometer that we can use to judge Washington's talent is the Auburn game. That's kind of it. Because everybody else they played afterwards, even Utah, who I find Utah to be kind of a suspect good team now. I just find this to be a game where, hey, is Washington for real? You got to test that kind of thing. And they're looking at Tex.
Of course we are. Well, no, but yeah, you do. You have to test your mettle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing. Oh, you guys are looking away. You're the jealous boyfriend over here. What, not paying attention to me? Everything you say?
Well, you're distracting me by showing me all these text people. Are
I'm not showing them to you. I'm showing them to Preston. I'm trying to put the kid to work.
Folks, the poll is out.
55305. Okay, better be today, text.
So this game, more about Washington, right, Will?
Yes.
Arizona State is a quality opponent. They need to go out and they need to lay the wood.
They need to lay the wood, and I want to see some Herm.
Who doesn't want to see some Herm? I just want the sound clips. All right. The poll is out.
Okay.
At Center Saint 1080 on the Twitters. Preston Highfield, what is our Twitter poll?
Okay, what do you want as your team's rally animal? We have A, rally monkey. B,
Anaheim Angels have the rally monkey.
B, Cleveland's possum.
Okay.
C, honey badger. Or okay. D, the werewolf duck handler from College Game Day. And I couldn't fit from College Game Day on the poll. It only gives you like 20 characters. So, yep. So I just put werewolf duck handler.
Werewolf duck handler, I think, is very appropriate.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. Go on to Twitter and we'll try to get results by the end of the show. The other game going on today will be played at 1 o'clock, I believe. Your alma mater, Will. It's your Beavs taking on Khalil Tate and Kevin Sumlin, the football talent and the football mastermind at Arizona. How you feeling? It's been a while since you've had a Pac-12 win.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been longer than the Browns' 635 days.
I think you could feel, some sense of confidence. Because, honestly, the Nevada game, I know everybody's kind of touting the Nevada game as a huge letdown. And, of course, it was a huge letdown. You made this massive comeback, and you missed a kick, you missed a field goal right at the very end of a game. But
you were also, what was it, a 30-7 deficit?
Yes, you erased it, and you actually showed that you have some offensive and really when it comes in crunch time, defensive competence. I mean, again, I just want to say this about the Oregon State football season for 2018 and 2019.
Oh, you're already saying for next year, too?
Yes. These are just learning years. Just let
I just want to paint a picture for everybody that that can't see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Hands fully masked. Open, fully masked, and waving in a magical pattern.
Yes. It's learning. Just learning. Dude, I was so stoked watching that Nevada game just because you saw that they were getting just absolutely trounced 31-7. And then at halftime, they started putting together these little drives. And then, of course, you started to see that Jonathan Smith being a competent coach who we haven't had in a while.
Two years ago, the Beavers won the Civil War, and the hype train was going coming into last year. Gary Anderson finally has something going. There's some magic.
Dude, but Jonathan Smith read the room perfectly when you're getting blown out at halftime, which every smart coach does, which is I know that their defense is going to come out, and they're going to lay off the pressure. They're just going to sit back and go, hey, we have this huge lead. Why do I have to pressure the quarterback? Why do I have to risk injury for my D-line and linebackers and safeties? Who cares? And he goes, great. I'll start giving the ball to my players in space. We'll just chip away at you one play at a time and hope my defense can deliver. They did that. They just couldn't convert to win the game. So it'll be interesting, but let me just say, I think Arizona will probably win this game because they just have more talent.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of building up the depth that you're going to need to win Pac-12 football games.
Sure.
All right. Well, there's some great games. Check those out. 1 o'clock, you've got Arizona, Oregon State. 5 o'clock, the big game on ABC, Stanford at Oregon. And then 7:30 on ESPN. That's your late game, Arizona State at Washington.
This is such a big effing game for Oregon.
It is. It is. It can't be overstated.
No, it cannot at all because of the fact that you don't really have much after this except for Washington.
Well, and it just, if they win this game, then the hype train will be at full steam ahead for Washington.
Question.
Yeah.
They win. Top 10 team?
It's difficult because after the top, what, five? I have a hard time going.
It's a toss-up.
And it kind of is.
Except for Alabama.
So I don't know if they'll jump that far in a week, but they could certainly be knocking on the door. I mean, you knock off number seven at home. It depends on how they win, I suppose.
Yeah. It's a big-time blowout. If you win by 20 or more, I think you got to be considered at least in that low tier, maybe 11.
But they eke out a sloppy game, then no. Yeah, I mean, not all wins are viewed the same.
But this one's going to be viewed on a national stage.
See, that's what I'm saying. If it's a sloppy game and they win because, Stanford plays poorly or they just kind of, eke it out, that's a lot different than going out and just, scorched earth win is a very different thing. So let's get in some NFL next, but let's do it right after you do the scoreboard update thing that you do that we call the scoreboard update thing. And then along comes Mary. All right, we're just 15 minutes away from Will Dorkins giving you his locks of the week. Can't miss games. Sharps are all over them. We're putting big money on them ourselves. Will's going to tell you exactly where to go. That's going to be crystal balls, and we're going to do that in about 15 minutes, so don't go anywhere. Don't go nowhere, you guys. If you want to make some money with us, you listen to what we're doing. We'll tell you the games to be on if you want to make big money. Big money. Text right now if you want big money. 55305. Text big money. We'll give you the picks.
Luke, you are the mayor of a county in Washington.
That's right. Clark County. You
Clark
know
county
it. That's
mayor.
Right.
You would trust me, right? You're a trustworthy guy. You trust me.
I trust you implicitly. There is nothing you have ever done in your entire life that would make me not trust you, especially when it comes to picking football games.
Let me tell you something. I got the picks. I got the picks, my friend. You stick around. This is a big time tease, but a big payoff. I got the picks for you. I'm going to make you money. 10, 20, 30, $100,000? It can happen.
It can happen. I really hoped at the end of that you would just not say an actual dollar amount. 10, 20, 50, and then just leave it dead. I've really enjoyed that. Hey, we will do our picks and crystal balls, but I don't know that we know anything about football. I'll just say that right now.
We know enough about football.
Here's my question for you, though. Sure. What game are you most excited about in the NFL slate of games?
Ooh, the NFL slate of games. I guess I would have to go with the Monday night game, really.
Monday night games have been great so far.
Bucks Steelers, just because this is kind of the prove it game for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitz magic.
So now after this game, Jameis Winston is available to take the football field and be a menace to society. Oh, I'm sorry.
For being a menace to society.
Yeah. So I'm most interested to see, one, how Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be able to perform on the big stage, really, because the first couple games that he's played this year, they've been kind of low-key games. After the first week, it was meh. After the second week, people kind of got excited about it. Now the buildup of excitement has finally culminated to a Monday night game where the entire country is going to be watching him.
Well, not to mention him showing up in the tracksuit for the press conference. Oh, he's become this darling. He's been in the league, a decade, it feels like?
Yes.
And he's always been that guy that is a stopgap measure. He's shown that, he has the ability to play, great games and terrible games at the same time. So he's always been kind of a risk. But now you have him with this great start to the season, and you have all these breakdowns of what he's doing differently. He doesn't have the strongest arm. He's not going to be able to move a lot out of the pocket, but it was this great breakdown of all the no-look passes he had against the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles last week, and they're saying that that's new to his repertoire. I'll admit, never really broke down a lot of Ryan Fitzpatrick game film.
Really?
never until today when somebody did it for me.
Dude, there's a reason they call him Fitzmagic. He has the ability, I don't know if it's luck or actually skill, but he has the ability to place a ball deep, extremely precisely.
Yeah.
But it's a double-edged sword because he can do that, for like an entire game, and then he'll have one half of the next game be the complete opposite of that, which is like, hey, he's going to throw a poster up, but they ran a go. Where are you throwing?
But here was the other thing that was funny about it is I'm looking at the footage of Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing the football, looking one direction, throwing it the other, and you're like, all right, that's nice. And he's throwing the ball, you know, 15 yards down the field. And then DeSean Jackson catches it and runs for another 60, or Mike Evans catches it and runs for another 30, or O.J. Howard catches it and runs for another 80 yards on some of these plays. You have to remember how good the weapons are in Tampa Bay for that offense. That's another thing that kind of makes his job. Those three guys, you don't want to throw the ball to DeSean Jackson?
It's kind of begging the question, though, right? Is that, like, Mike Evans is notorious for dropping. Like, he drops a lot of friggin' balls. And the fact that he's a physical freak.
He's built like a truck.
6'5", 6'6", and he's up there in the 230s, 240s, and still runs like that.
Yeah, he looks like a tight end, but runs like a wide receiver.
It kind of begs the question of, is it just that Jameis Winston sucks at quarterback?
Or is it incredibly
average? Or the fact that his leadership skills, I'm using air quotes, bother enough players?
Use W's and then eat them.
I don't even want to talk
instead
about
of air quotes.
Them.
Eat your W's.
Gross.
Yeah, Jameis Winston, I hope he's awful. The other thing about the Monday night game that's intriguing, though, is Pittsburgh this bad? I mean, Pittsburgh is...
Everyone on the Steelers is like freaking out. Like,
oh yeah,
Antonio Brown's throwing typical Antonio Brown's fits, telling the media they suck. You know, Big Ben's in his boot all the time.
And well, but he's also in Stormy Daniel headlines all week.
It's awesome,
which is always good. He tried to kiss me.
I didn't see that.
Oh yeah, it's creepy. There's some weird stuff going on.
Should joke about that. Ben Roethlisberger is a sexual predator.
What's that?
He's a sexual predator.
I'm just reading the headline in a lady voice.
He's been accused. Like,
yeah, he's been
times.
Accused a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
But anyways, those are the Roethlisberger headlines. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that levity to the show.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Another game that I'm interested to see, and it's purely out of spite, is Cowboys Seahawks.
Spite for who?
Spite for the Seahawks, because if that's what...
I thought it's spite for me.
If that's what the Bears defense was able to do to that
Khalil Mack?
Dude... That offensive line in Seattle is like danger level 11. Like bad, dude. Really bad.
Just because they're the worst in football?
Just because Russell Wilson looks like he is. I know that we use the phrase and we kind of toss it around a lot. Like he was running for his life. No,
he's
dude,
literally running for his life.
That guy's running for his life. I don't even think he even goes through progressions or reads once he snaps the ball. He just goes, okay, where's it coming?
Yeah. Like, well, so there's a couple things going on there. Not only is he running for his life, he's also yelling at his offensive coordinator, and he has two backs that are supposed to change this running game. And one of them you spent a first round draft pick on. And they're not really running the ball either. So it's not like you have any balance to help him out either.
Yeah, dude, Rashard Penny looks...
mediocre.
Ew, that's very kind.
I'm trying to be nice.
He kind of looks lost out there, man.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, he doesn't... And
I mean, remember he missed 3 preseason games and a lot of practices with that broken finger and the surgery that he had. But yeah, he doesn't look like he feels comfortable.
Well, but it's interesting because at San Diego State, he looked like a guy who had... you know, a propensity for being around the ball. Like he knew where to get out in open space and make plays. And you look at him now, and it just looks very confused in that offense. It's very strange.
Yeah. It's absolutely bizarre going on. And Dallas is as bad as they look in week one. Their pass rush devoured Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Absolutely devoured him. You see the picture of his face getting up.
Yeah. I was just about to mention it. Goodness. The offensive lineman helping him up and him just looking like, am I on Mars?
Yeah.
Well, because I kind of look at it the week one, week two, and you go, oh, it's Von Miller, it's Khalil Mack, and you have good pass rushes on those teams, but at least it's Dallas. This is their first home game in Seattle, and they haven't been as good on the road over the past few years. But yeah, they go 0-3, and it's just
Eli Manning's also kind of prehistoric in terms of the way he moves.
That's true.
As opposed
but
to Russell Wilson actually looks like he belongs in 2018. Eli Manning should probably hang him up at this point, right?
I give you
it's
that.
It's like a taboo thing to say because he's won 2 Super Bowls and everyone, you know, he's donated a ton of money. He's like a very, in all seriousness, he's like a super well-respected figure.
He's got one of the dumber faces ever.
Maybe with his physical appearance.
Yeah, he's not well respected. People are like, how did he win 2 Super Bowls? Well, he beat the Patriots, and people are like, yeah, but
I mean, he's like a community, well respected, like normal dude.
Nah,
and I don't mean for you to walk back statements. He didn't win 2 Super Bowls. His defense did.
Yeah.
And David Tyree's sticky gloves.
Again, this is the thing. There's a caveat to everything. If you make the argument that he won 2 Super Bowls, boom, right there.
Yeah. And yep. Plexico Burress and his accidental shooting himself. Which is still funny to me.
Which is fantastic. Here's the thing. If you watch the game film of the Cowboys pass rush against Eli Manning and you watch the first two games with the Broncos and the Bears against the Seahawks, my point, they don't look all that different, which is worrisome if you're a Seahawks fan. And I used to be once upon a time.
Still are.
I know. All right, Crystal Balls is next. Center and Saint, 1080. The Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the final segment of this tailgate show.
Tailgate.
Don't have to go anywhere. We've got the Ducks Roundtable, Coach's Show, Ducks Game Day, pregame, game, postgame. It's Ducks all day.
Just get your cigs, get your beer, get in your truck, roll the windows down, tune it to 1080 The Fan, and just hang out.
Actually, real quick, I did ask the question earlier, and I'll see how quickly I can find it, but I was asking how you do the 5 a.m. start for game day and then do the 5 p.m. kick for the actual game, and one of the texters wrote in, drunk nap, Luke. Get up 5-ish, pound some beers, take a flask to the game day set, get back around noonish, nap for a few hours, get a rock star, and start pregame. 40 beer ball, some pong, ready to go. That's P1 Dustin. So there is a strategy to this whole thing, and the fan will be there for, to help you through all of it.
We had when we beat USC the first time, the Giant Killers year. We had a friend who brought one of her friends.
The Giant Killers year was in the 60s.
The second Giant Killers year.
Okay, thank you.
We had a friend who brought one of her friends to our house.
Yeah, she did.
She drank too much and fell asleep on the couch and missed the entire game. And right when I walked in, she woke up and and she goes, did we beat the USC? And everybody's like, yeah, you passed out. Then she threw up on our couch.
That is a wonderful story. Real quick, before we get into our picks, we need to update our poll results. Preston Highfield, what is our poll and what are the results?
Okay, so the poll is, what do you want as your team's rally animal? We now have a vote. One vote for Cleveland's possum. Okay, that's at 11%. One vote for the rally monkey, 11%. Honey badger getting 22%. And by far, the leading vote getter was the werewolf duck handler from College Game Day this morning. The guy with the creepy smile and the beard up to his eyes.
I will say I'm a little bit disappointed in the possum results, but if we'd have put the possum handler, that was a guy in a Cleveland Browns jersey tucked into his Cleveland Browns sweatpants.
Yeah.
I think he might have done better than the possum itself. But let's be honest, this duck handler, Wolverine-looking guy, Teen Wolf, he's a revelation.
There's a GIF of him that Game Day tweeted out, and it is
that.
It is amazing. Okay,
yeah,
I
retweet
got you.
That so everybody can find it through 1080. Do the whole thing. Let's do some picks real quick. We're going to start with the late game, and we'll go Arizona State, Washington. Washington favored by 18 in this one, Will Darkins. Who you taking?
What
do I do now?
Well, hold on.
Okay.
I'm getting my sheets here.
Your sheep?
Well, my sheets.
Why do you need sheep?
Getting all my sheets together.
It's two remotes.
Hold on
together.
A second. Here we go. All right. So you telling me about Arizona State, Washington? Luke, I got the inside track on this game. I'm taking Washington with the points. Chris Peterson, he's buttoned up. He's looking good. He's looking fresh. He's looking soft. He has got Miles Gaskin. They're going to tear through Herm Edwards and that team. Put all your money on it. Text in 55305. Better you today. Text line big money. I got you.
Preston, who you taking Washington, Arizona State?
Oh, I'll take UW. That's at UW at
night. UW, it's a lock. It's a lock.
Lock
a three-star super pick of the week. Take the Huskies. Go, Dogs.
Luke, I can't. Hold on a second. So many people are texting in right now, big money. I can't even concentrate. Go ahead into the next pick.
All right, Arizona in Corvallis at Research Stadium against your Oregon State Beavos. Who you got over there, smart guy?
Want to pick the Beavs. Want to. Taking Arizona, though.
I'll give you 5.5 points.
Yeah, I'm taking Arizona.
Okay.
I'm sorry. They just have better talent than we do, and that's just going to be the theme for this entire year for Oregon State. We just don't have as good of players as practically everybody on our schedule, so it's going to take a whole year of recruiting to bring up a new talent pool to actually make Jonathan Smith's great offensive coaching matter. So
I can see in Preston's eyes he disagrees with you.
Yeah. Well, I just want to see Jordan Shuker get another shot at a last-second kick. I just want more last-second kick drama.
And if there's last-second kick drama, that means they cover the spread.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to win.
Well, no, but you're taking him with 5.5 points?
No, I'm not. All right. Just saying I want to see it.
Well, I'm going to take him just because I think you guys are idiots. And that means you're wrong. Oh. And I'll take the Beavs. And they won't cover. But
big money.
Go. All right, let's do it.
Stop stealing people's money.
Let's do big money time. Big money time. All right, smart guy. Nobody's been able to pick this all week except for you. Stanford, Oregon, number 7 at number 20. This is a big time game. Who you taking?
All right, let me tell you something here really quick. All right, you ready for this? So I'm over here right now at the Caesar, and I got my guy, and he is in my ear right now, and he's telling me.
What's he saying, Dawkins? Come on, spit it out.
He's telling me.
Big money.
2.5. 2.5 is what you want to take with Stanford. I'm going to take Stanford because my guy's telling me that. And you should take him too. 55305, better you today. Text line. Text
big
in
money.
Big
everybody texting big money. Everybody, they're making so much big money on it. Do you dare? Do you dare, Preston Highfield, go against the oracle that is Will Dawkins over there?
I'm going against Dawkins. I'm not going to do the casino boy stealing people's money
this
accent,
is,
but
this guy doing
I'm going Oregon. I think they win by 2 touchdowns.
Whoa.
I'm serious. I think Herbert balls out. I think receivers finally catch the football, and I think Oregon wins 38-24, and I think they get themselves on the map, and Herbert launches himself into a Heisman campaign because no one is even close to Tua right now in this Heisman campaign. I just want someone else to get in that gosh darn conversation, I think Herbert does it.
Who's this guy picking against me? Who's this guy?
It's Preston Highfield, and I believe he's an Oregon grad. It sounded like an Oregon grad pick.
It did, didn't it?
I should have been a little more discreet with that.
Very much so.
Although
listen,
I
should have been like, come from behind.
But listen, a close game puts him in the Heisman conversation, too, if he plays well.
I will agree with Preston. I would like to see Herbert kind of build up to that Heisman level so it's at least competitive.
Yeah. But I don't think there's any question. I think we're all rooting against Stanford. I won't go as far as to say that you're rooting for Oregon, but I would say that you're rooting against Stanford. Is that fair?
Kind of.
as close as you can get to a Beaver rooting for the Oregon Ducks. I'm going to take the Ducks in this one. I do think it's a close game. I don't think it's a 2-touchdown victory, but I think it comes down to Justin Herbert finding one of his weapons in space, and there's your game. All right, enjoy game day all throughout the day right here on 1080, and we'll be back next week. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
You must always face the curtain with a bow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.